It's been 100 years since the start of World War I, and the series looks at how the Great War impacted regional artists. And I know that photography would take over, especially in World War II. How did illustration work with the Great War? Was it kind of the last hurrah for illustration?
It was indeed the last hurrah for illustration. The Great War was a period where illustrators and photographers worked side by side, and there was little differentiation between the actuality of photography and the informed speculation, shall we call it, of illustration.
So the Brandywine region's great illustrators, like especially N.C. Wyeth, and the students of Howard Pyle, they were based around Chatsford, and I know N.C. stayed in Chatsford during the Great War, but some of Pyle's students, they actually headed over to Europe, correct?
They did. At the end of 1917, the Committee on Public Information, which is a committee that had been formed by Woodrow Wilson almost immediately after the war started, it was the committee to handle all of the propaganda and the dissemination of information, managed to convince the General Staff of the Army to hire 8 artists that would be officially attached to the Army and that would go across. 4 of those 8 were Howard Pyle students. I think that's actually a rather remarkable ratio. They were all, of course, illustrators at that point at the top of their game. Some of them were teaching illustration and gave up their own businesses. But 4 of them basically enlisted in the Army. They were all given the rank of captain. They shouldered up their materials, and off they went. They left the United States in end of February, March. They went in a couple of waves, March of 1918, and they began to draw and paint as soon as they hit the shores of France.
So they took all their materials to document what was happening. What did their work look like over there in the Great War?
Well, as you can imagine, if you were an artist in the war, in any war zone, it presents its challenges. And for these 4 former Pyle students, they, of course, dealt with mundane problems like where they were getting their materials, how they were transporting their materials, and then they had to deal with Army regulations, for example. There were prescriptions on how close to the front they could actually get, how close to active fronts they could actually get. There was the problem of transportation. For example, one of the artists, Harry Townsend, left a diary of his war experience, and he's complaining constantly that they have 1 car at their disposal, occasionally 2. There are 8 artists altogether, and sometimes 2 take 1 car, 2 take another, and that leaves the other 4 without any transportation to any of the ruined villages or the war sites that they wish to go to. There was the problem of where they would set up their temporary studios. They had to send their work to one particular location, and then that would be sent back to Washington, and it was, of course, subject to censor. There were a lot of difficulties being a war artist. And just like being a soldier in the war, there was a lot of dealing with logistics, a lot of waiting, and then jumping into action, and then waiting again. So it was a very difficult place to do art. And some of the artists, interestingly enough, one of them especially, Harvey Dunn, almost in a way suffered a PTSD. These soldier/artists were obviously bowled over by what they saw. And I think several of them, Dunn in particular, had contributed, for example, before they left for the United States, they had contributed posters to the war effort where their soldier types were these very strong, and when I say strong, I mean graphically strong, heroic figures. And then when they get to the war zone, they realize that these soldiers, these doughboys, their packs are loaded down. They plod along. There's a lot of sitting around waiting. It's a whole different picture that they're seeing once they are at the war zone.
So the pictures that they sent home, were they of soldiers sitting around? Were they of soldiers prepping for battle? Were they landscapes? Were they
All of that. There were landscapes. There were pictures, for example, of convoys mired in the mud. There were pictures of, you know, soldiers going over the top, that great World War I phrase. They were done on informed speculation, certainly talking to doughboys that had done that. There were pictures of the trenches, of the hospitals and the field stations. Just every aspect of the war was covered. There were pictures of the airplanes on the ground that would take off and fly reconnaissance. There were pictures of the fields just absolutely filled with barbed wire, of the tanks. Everything was their subject.
So they captured the fog of war.
They captured the fog of war, indeed. And they were doing this, you know, mostly with a sense, of course, of urgency, of quickness. A lot of the drawings, and they are drawings, a lot of them are drawings. They're done in watercolor, in charcoal, in crayon, pastel, that sort of easily portable material. It shows the urgency. There's the quickness in their strokes and in their execution, if you will. There were also some of the artists, and again, Harvey Dunn is one of them, who did manage to execute some oil canvases. These are absolutely haunting. I know of one that Dunn did of a machine gun emplacement in a cemetery, and it's really an amazing picture. It's an oil and canvas, so he had some time to frame it, consider the composition, consider the colors, that sort of thing. But it is, and consider his message. It is a picture of death, set up in a place of death that has been totally ruined. The cemetery, the stones are all knocked over. It's already been the site of war, the site of recent death, the site of old death, and these soldiers with their machine guns ready to cause more death. It's amazing.
So these were the powerful pictures that Americans at home were relying on.
Yes and no, actually. Most of these pictures, when they got back to Washington, it was felt that they were not inspirational enough, that they weren't the type of pictures that necessarily put out the official line, if you will, of American heroism. These pictures didn't make you want to rush and enlist. So this is where some of the other students of Howard Pyle come in. The Committee on Public Information turned to many artists and some former Pyle students who stayed home and were able to create studio pictures based on, again, what I call informed speculation, that were much more to the committee's taste, much more useful in the propaganda war, if you will. And both Frank Schoonover and NCYF were two of these artists who, by staying home and studying the news accounts, listening to the reports of injured doughboys that came home, were able to create fairly accurate in detail paintings that were much more, they were larger, they were much more finished. They gave much more of a sense of American heroism than some of these drawings and sketches and paintings that were coming back from the front.